On December 6th, NBC's Today Show will feature a new book coinciding with its release date about death row journalist Mumia Abu-Jamal. The book's title, Murdered by Mumia, reveals its intent. It is co-written by the widow of the Philadelphia police officer that Abu-Jamal was convicted of killing, Maureen Faulkner, and conservative radio talk show host Michael Smirkonish. The book, say Faulkner and Smirkonish, is, quote, the first to carefully and definitively lay out the case against Abu-Jamal and those who've elevated him to the status of political prisoner. Fearing a program rife with bias, the group Journalists for Mumia are calling on NBC to ensure that all sides are fairly represented on next week's Today Show. They contend that there has been a history of media bias with respect to covering the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. Joining us on the line this morning is Hans Bennett with Journalists for Mumia. Welcome back to Uprising, Hans.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for joining us today. So before we talk about the book and about the Today Show, let's step back and take a look at the history of how mainstream media has covered the Abu-Jamal case in the United States. Outside the U.S., of course, it's a different story. But over the years, there has been a lot of coverage, and of course, some of it has been affected by the way in which the Fraternal Order of Police, who are Mumia Abu-Jamal's nemesis, if you will, have really conspired and have done a lot of damage, if you will, to media coverage. What has the in your mind? What are some examples of how the media has covered Mumia Abu-Jamal in a way that you find troubling as a journalist?
Well, you know, it's really all across the board. And for an overview, I'd recommend people go to the fair.org website by Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. They cover a lot of stuff from over the years. One of the clearest examples was the ABC show 2020 with Sam Donaldson in 1998. You know, really indicative of the tone of the show was an interview with Sam Donaldson the day before in the Philadelphia Inquirer, and he said that the people who support Mumia's release don't do so from a position of knowledge. They either oppose the death penalty, or they're campus radicals, or they're African-American activists who believe that a black man was railroaded and will continue to believe it no matter what's presented to them. Now, you know, if you want to look at the overt racism in that statement, you know, you have support from, you know, the most prominent black intellectuals of our generation. You got Cornel West, Henry Louis Gates Jr., Toni Morrison, you know, Angela Davis, Alice Walker, you know, Manning Marable, and the list goes on and on. And there's been a lot of documentation of this show. Covert Action Quarterly magazine did a really in-depth analysis, talked about how they, you know, would take, you know, select clips from Ed Asner and select clips from, you know, who's an actor who supports a new trial for Mumia, and then take select clips from his lawyer and really distort it around. And Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting did a good report on it. And then also there was a whole movie done about it called Framing and Execution, Mumia Abu-Jamal in the Media, and it's narrated by Danny Glover. That's really excellent. All this stuff is viewable, you know, online on our website, abujamalnews.com. So I'd encourage people to go and check it out to, you know, learn more.
That's abujamalnews.com. Now, what about the media coverage of the recent development in the Abu-Jamal case with respect to the possibility of a new trial, as well as the discovery of new photographs that could have a big impact on his case? How has the mainstream media been covering these new aspects of this case?
Well, regarding the new crime scene photos, the mainstream media has completely ignored it. I've personally contacted everyone I could think of. You know, we put together numerous press releases. I keep contacting people, along with a lot of other people have been contacting the mainstream media, too. And it's been completely ignoring it, not one sentence even acknowledging the existence of these photos. Last month, however, David Love is a columnist for The Black Commentator, which is a national website-based news source. He wrote an excellent article about our campaign, and it got picked up by the San Francisco Bayview newspaper, which is a national black paper out of San Francisco, and they were the first ones to actually publish a photo. So that was a good step for us, but now we're really still trying to pressure the mainstream media to acknowledge them. Now, if you look at the May 17th hearings, and, you know, before the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, the coverage the week of it, you know, the Inquirer and the Associated Press had articles that were relatively fair, all things considered. You know, they laid out both sides. They didn't do much in-depth, you know, investigation into the background of the case, which I think, you know, any serious journalist should do because it's such an important issue. But they weren't quite as fanatical in their distortion. But if you looked at a lot of the TV coverage in Philadelphia and other places, it was pretty bad. But then also, if you look back at in December 2005, when the Third Circuit Court first announced that they would begin deliberations and that they would consider two issues that were not certified by the previous judge, Federal Court Judge Yon, the media was almost completely silent, especially in Philadelphia. And, you know, that was a real travesty of justice, too, because it's a major development in the case. Lynn Washington Jr., he's a Philadelphia columnist, he wrote a good essay on it saying, you know, when the Philly media doesn't bash, it ignores. And, you know, that's exactly what happened with, you know, with it this time.
Let's talk about what is expected to happen next week on the Today Show. NBC is going to be featuring this new book, Murdered by Mumia. Are they going to have both authors on as guests?
Yes, that's how it appears, based on Michael Smirkanish's website, that they will have both people on. And we've been initiating our email letter writing campaign for about the last week and a half, 2 weeks. And Pam Africa, who's the head of the International Concerned Family and Friends of Mumia, she has a telephone conference scheduled with the Today Show for tomorrow. So it is a critical time, and if listeners are able to take, you know, literally 1 minute to send an email. We have created a form letter so it can be real quick. We're trying to get as much public support for our campaign as possible within the next day so that Pam Africa has better grounds, and when she's having her meeting with them and people know at the Today Show that the whole world's watching, and we don't want another whitewash biased report about Mumia.
So Pam Africa is meeting with NBC?
Yes.
And regarding this particular program?
Yeah, she's having a telephone conference with him about this program. And you know, to be clear, I mean, we're asking for fairness on the show. We're not asking for them to silence Maureen Faulkner or for her to not be on the show. And if the Today Show is already booked, you know, on December 6th, we're cool with doing it the next day or the day after that. As long as they give us equal time, that's what we really want.
Just to have some balance on the program.
Exactly.
Who could they interview?
Well, we suggested Suzanne Ross, who's the head of the New York City Coalition for Mumia, and also Philadelphia journalist Lynn Washington. And Lynn Washington is independent of us, but he is a journalist who's been covering this case for 25 years in Philadelphia, and he has said Mumia needs a new trial. And we think that, you know, his reports and coverage in the past have been fair and balanced. So we were suggesting having him on the show.
I'm speaking with Hans Bennett, with Journalists for Mumia. We're talking about the Today Show next week on December 6th, which will be featuring a new book called Murdered by Mumia, and it's co-authored by Maureen Faulkner, the widow of the Philadelphia police officer that Abu Jamal was convicted of killing, and also co-written with Michael Smirkonish, a conservative radio talk show host. Let's talk about Michael Smirkonish, Hans. Who is this person? Who is this a man who is her co-author, and what can you tell us about his politics?
Well, you know, he's been around for a while, and he's probably been the most prominent journalist, you know, assisting the Fraternal Order of Police campaign to execute Mumia. And, a good indication of his broader politics would be, you know, after September 11th, he wrote a book advocating racial profiling, unapologetically, and, saying that, you know, we don't need to let our politically correct sympathies get in the way. We shouldn't be guilty about targeting people of color and Muslims. And, you know, that says a lot right there. You know, he's smart enough that he tries to paint himself as not being a racist and whatnot. But I think that, you know, that right there shows the broader context. And also his recent book is called Muzzled, where he takes kind of a general approach to how, quote-unquote, political correctness is, you know, destroyed our society and causing all these problems.
So he is the co-author of this book. And have you had a chance to take a look at the book at all and find out what it's about, whether, you know, how it deals with this case?
Well, no. Basically, I requested a review copy as well as a lot of other people I know, and no one's been able to get it. They have had the first chapter available on their website showing the preview, and it basically says it's called Premonition, and it's saying how Maureen Faulkner and her family had this premonition that something bad was going to happen. And they don't really go into the facts of the case. However, there is one paragraph on the website which, you know, tries to summarize the evidence, and I could read that to you. It says, Mumia Abu-Jamal was unanimously convicted of the crime by a racially mixed jury based on the testimony of several eyewitnesses, his ownership of the murder weapon, matching ballistics, and Abu-Jamal's own confession. And if you want me to pick out one of those things, I could talk about the, you know, alleged ownership of the murder weapon and matching ballistics.
Definitely. And I mean, there's also the issue of the supposed confession.
Oh, yeah. And it's amazing that they're still citing this confession, because it's one of the probably the most easy thing to discredit. I mean, these police officers allegedly forgot about the confession for 2 months. And, you know, one of the police officers who said he heard it had reported in his official police report that the Negro male made no comment.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, at the original 1982 trial, when Mumia's lawyer tried to bring in Gary Wakeshall, the officer who made the Negro male remark, he tried to bring him into the court on the last day, but the judge wouldn't allow it, saying it was too late, you know, in the time. And he said, you and your attorney goofed. You know, that's a direct quote from the trial judge, Albert Hanging Judge Sabo.
Well, unfortunately, Hans, we are out of time. I'm sure our listeners can do their research into the very, very well-documented ways in which the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal has been very, very flawed. And again, that website where they can, if they're interested in writing to NBC about next week's show, where can they find a sample letter?
Well, they can go to the main Mumia website, which is freemumia.com. That's out of New York City and is a family and friends website. And then general background, my website, Journalist for Mumia, is abujamalnews.com.
Abujamalnews.com and freemumia.com. Hans, thank you so much for joining us again. I'm sure we'll have you back on to continue covering this case.
Great. Thank you very much.
Hans Bennett is with Journalists for Mumia.